الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله إمام العلماء and we'll be reading from his own Nuskha hadith number 63 but for the rest of us that hadith is hadith number 76 for the rest of us and that is a continuation on Babu Maja'a fi Na'li Rasulillah. What has been reported about the shoe of the Prophet? How did his shoe used to be? Things connected to his wearing shoe. And if we remember, we read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik and Abdullah ibn Abbas that his shoes have two kibalan. His shoes have two straps, two shoe straps, and that those straps are either connected by a shoe tongue that connects the straps and takes them into the shoe foot, or that the straps are could be crossed, or they could be in any way that you can have two straps on the shoe. The meaning is not restricted to any of the two or any of the three meanings you can have for two shoe straps. All we know from those narrations is that there are two shoe straps. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today, inshallah, we'll read that hadith. It says, An Ubayd ibn Juraysh, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi, annahu qala libn Umar, ra'aytuka talbasu al-ni'al al-sibtiyah. An Ubayd ibn Juraysh, annahu qala libn Umar, ra'aytuka talbasu al-ni'al al-sibtiyah. قال إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يلبس النعال التي ليس فيها شعر ويتوضأ فيها فأنا أحب أن ألبسها. قال إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يلبس النعال التي ليس فيها شعر ويتوضأ فيها فأنا أحب أن ألبسها. Ubayd ibn Juraysh is a tabi'i. Once he said to Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه أو رضي الله عنهما, because Abdullah ibn Umar and his father are both companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know them both, inshallah. Abdullah ibn Umar and Umar رضي الله عنه. Discussions about them could go on for days. Radiallahu anhuma. They were exceptional from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the fadl of Umar radiallahu anhu is the second best person in this ummah after its Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know Abdullah ibn Umar is about the most learned from amongst the companions too. Radiallahu anhu. By the time you start counting the most learned people amongst the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhum, before you finish one hand, you would count Ibn Umar. By the time you want to start counting the most learned people amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before you count five, you will count Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum. And Allah blessed him with long life. So he was able to teach what he knows. It is from the things with which Allah blessed scholars. It makes them live long. People like Sheikh Al-Albani, he wrote his first book when he was 17 years old. So, and he lived for over 65 years after. 65 years. In about 70 years, we can say. Because he lived for about 80-something years. He lived, rahimahullah. So one of the things with which Allah blesses scholars is long life. And that was why, for its benefit, for the benefit of long life, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam prayed for Anas ibn Malik, one of the things for which he prayed for Anas ibn Malik was what? Long life. So Anas ibn Malik lived long, radiallahu anhu. So there is a lot of blessing in living long. So from the things with which Allah blessed Ibn Umar was that he did what? He relatively lived long amongst the companions. So a learned person living long, he has a lot of reward. A lot of people will be hearing knowledge from him. Be asking him about so many things. If you carry Muwatta Imam Malik, you see most of the reports that have come from the companions that are from the Mawqufat of Muwatta, many of them have come from who? Abdullah ibn Umar. We'll just, if we want to start describing the two of them, we'll just start talking about them. But it suffices that they are both known, Ibn Umar and his father. So that's why we say, radiallahu anhuma, to the two of them. So this tabi he said, qala li Ibn Umar, he said to Ibn Umar, ra'aytuka talbasu ni'al as-sibtiyah. I see you wearing sibtiyah shoes. What does it mean to say sibtiyah? The hadith explained the meaning of sibtiyah. The response, the meaning of sibtiyah occurs in the meaning, in the explanation of Ibn Umar. But it suffices to say that a sibtiyah shoe, na'al sibtiyah, is allati la sha'ra 'alayha, the shoe that does not have hairs on it. Because in those days when they make shoes, they could use skins that still has the hairs of those animals on it. So when it is na'al sibtiyah, they have completely removed the hairs from it. So it's, you are not having any hairs on the shoes. You could have shoes that you have hairs on it. So when you don't have any hairs on it, that is when it is referred to as what? Na'al sibtiyah. So he says, he asked him, why do I see you ra'aytuka talbasu ni'al sibtiyah? What is the ruling? What about your wearing na'al sibtiyah? Because that's how the companions were, radiallahu anhu, particularly Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar has an attitude that he took it upon himself that whatever the Prophet do, he will do it. If he heard or read that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did something, he will do it, radiallahu anhu. So he was from those who could be asked about the ruling concerning his doing a particular thing. So this question is like, what is the ruling about wearing sibtiyah? Is it sunnah? Is it wajib? Is it, what's the ruling about it? And he says, radiallahu anhuma, inni ra'aytu rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yalbasu ni'al allati laysa fiha sha'run. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing a shoe or shoes that laysa fiha sha'run, that does not have sha'r on it. And they were asking him about what? An ni'al sibtiyah. So what is ni'al sibtiyah? An ni'al allati laysa alayha sha'run. This is how the scholars of hadith bring the branch of knowledge they refer to as gharibul hadith. Gharibul hadith is like the science of Arabic, but Arabic or words as used by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This word sibtiyah, now you can go to the dictionary, you will not find sibtiyah. So if you are Sibawayh, if you don't know gharibul hadith, you will not be able to translate this meaning of sibtiyah. If you don't understand that, no, it will tell you the meaning. So he was asked about sibtiyah, and he said, ra'aytu rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yalbasu ni'al allati laysa fiha sha'run. It means an-ni'al allati laysa fiha sha'run is what? An-ni'al sibtiyah. Yesterday, brother was asking me a question over the phone. He said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read a fatwa from one of the scholars and said that afdalul hajj لمن لم يفك الحج حج القران, that the best of hajj for the person who is not making siyaq al hajj, لمن لم يفك الحج is حج القران, that is the hajj that you combine both umrah and hajj in a single hajj without donning off your ihram. It's called حج القران. When you combine hajj and umrah, but after your umrah you remove your ihram, it is called what? حج التمتع. So the brother was asking, he said, I should interpret what is the meaning of siyaqul hajj. That is, in Arabic, siyaqul hajj means to tie down your animal. In Arabic, it says, liman siyaqul hajj, for the one who is tying down, who has tied down, who has gotten his budna, his slaughter animal ready. That is what it means. But that is not what Hajj Qiran means. It does not mean the one who has tied down. The one who wants to make Hajj Tamatu, if he gets there, After his umrah, he can go and buy his ram and tie it down. He has also tied down Bugatan. He has also tied down his ram. But that is not what it means. So he was asking, what does that Siyakul Hadi, what does it mean? I say, look, it means to hold your ram before you get to your miqat. So any person who wants to perform Hajj Qiran now must be holding his ram before he gets to where? Miqat. So that is Saqul Hadi. So that's why he was saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, that وَلَوْ إِسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَسْتَدْبَرْتُ مَا سُكْتُ هَدِيَ. مَا سُكْتُ هَدِيَ does not mean I would not have tied down. No. It means I would not have held a ram when I was leaving Medina, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam performed Hajj al-Quran, and the only Hajj that he performed alayhi salatu wasalam, it was Hajj al-Quran. I was holding a ram from Medina. That is the meaning of Suqul Hadi. It does not mean tying down a ram. So this science, in the science of Hadith, that makes us know the meaning of words used in a hadith, is called what? Garibul Hadith. And it has a'imma. It has people who are specialists in it, in the ilmu Garibul Hadith. That one is different from saying whether hadith is sahih or not sahih. Whether sahih or not, what does it mean? They will tell you. So this is how things like this are derived. So if you ask a scholar of hadith who is versed in Garibul Hadith, what is the meaning of Na'alu As-Sibtiyah? He will say, An-Na'alu Lati La Sha'ara Alayha. How did he know? He would explain to you that this is the meaning of that hadith. So Ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhuma, Inni ra'aytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, yalbasu ni'ala allati laysa fiha sha'un. I saw him wearing a shoe that does not have what? Sha'ar. Wa yatawadda'u fiha. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yatawadda'u fiha. He will wear the shoes and perform wudu. He will wear the shoes and perform wudu. What does that mean? Wali. What does it mean? What does it mean that وَيَتَوَضَّعُ فِيهَا and he will perform wudu in it? He's wearing shoes and he will perform wudu. What does it mean? He will make al-masfu ala na'alayhi. So he will make the wudu. When he gets to the feet, he will make masfu. Before he makes masfu, something would have happened. What is that? هُوَ أَدْخَلَهُمَا طَاهِرَتَانِ وَهُوَ طَاهِرَتَانِ أَوْ وَهُمَا طَاهِرَتَانِ. He would have worn them when he was performing, when he had already performed wudu. If he wants to perform another wudu, all he needed to do, alayhi salatu wasalam, is to do what? Make al-mashu ala na'alain. So this is hadith, is evidence that we can make al-mashu ala na'alain. If you are wearing a na'al, you are wearing a shoe. A shoe here does not mean a covered shoe. We have discussed what his shoe looks like. Lahuma kibala. His shoes usually have, they are what we will call sandals. And yet he made al-mas, because people have the opinion that if the shoe or socks is not covering all of the feet, you can't make a mas. These ahadith make us understand that that assertion is objectionable. It's not correct, because he, alayhi salatu wasalam, is someone whose shoes only have two straps. They are not covered. And at the same time, he will do what? He will wipe over the shoes. So these things are strange now. We should do it. Al-Imam Ibn Turkmani, because this issue is strange now. With another issue that we'll read about today, inshallah. They are from strange matters that when they are done, you look strange to people. Some people may even ask you, Ustaz, this one you are doing, we have not seen it before. So it doesn't mean we should not do it and then explain to the people. Every opportunity, things like this should be done in a manner that it will make it be known. So there are ahadith on it in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan Sahih ibn Hibban, Sahih ibn Khuzayman, and others regarding the permissibility of wiping over the shoes. Just like it is permissible to wipe over the what? The khuf. That is the leather socks and the socks itself, al-jurabin. It is permissible to wipe over them. So the Prophet Ibn Umar said, وَيَتَوَضَّأُ فِيهَا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will make wudu while wearing those shoes. فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَلْبِسَهَا. I also like to do the same thing. I like to do like the Prophet did, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Wearing the shoes, the Prophet used to do that, so I want to do as the Prophet did. He did many things the Prophet did, عليه الصلاة والسلام. رضي الله عنهما. I mean Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. The next hadith is the hadith of Hafiz al-Ummah Abdul Rahman ibn Fakhr Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. It says like Anas ibn Malik and Ibn Abbas had reported earlier in this chapter quote that كان لنعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قبالان. كان لنعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قبالان. The shoes of the Prophet or the sandals of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had two what? Two straps. Two shoe straps. We described them in the last class. And we mentioned that if you look at them properly, they will just be as if what we will call what? Slippers. But it could be of leather, it could be any material. But his were of leather, alayhi salatu. The next hadith for the rest of us is hadith 78, go. In that hadith, because we are reading from Mukhtasar, it says that Amr ibn Khurais yaqul, but that hadith is from Siddiq. He said, قال حدثني من سمع عمرو ابن حريث يقول. It says, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في نعلين مخصوفتين. رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي في نعلين مخصوفتين. عمرو ابن حريث said, he saw the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yusalli, he saw him praying fi na'lain while wearing two shoes makhsufatain that have two patches. Patch. His shoes had what? Two patches. It's not strange to have a patched shoe. To have a place got torn, he patched it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyid al-Bashar. He would patch his shoes because that is what he could afford at the time. If he could afford bigger, better, he would use better, bigger, better. That was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, Ra'aytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam yusalli fi na'alayn makhsufatayn. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performing his salah in two patched shoes. This hadith is evidence that we can pray in our shoes. رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي في نعلين مخصوفتين. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم performing his salah while wearing two patched shoes. This is evidence that we can perform salah while wearing our shoes. While we have our shoes on, we can perform salah. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith reported by Al-Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah, he says, Khaliful Yahud, contradict the Jews. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Khaliful Yahud, contradict the Jews. Be different from them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ وَلَا خِفَافِهِمْ. لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ وَلَا خِفَافِهِمْ. He said, be different from the Jews, because the Jews, لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ. They don't pray in their shoes. So what does it mean? If we have to contradict them, it means you pray in your shoes. وَلَا خِفَافِهِمْ. They won't pray in their hoofs, in their leather socks. What does it mean? You pray in your leather socks. He says, Khaliful Yahud. Be different from the Jews. As he said it, Khaliful Yahud, leave your beard. He said, Khaliful Yahud. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُصَلُّونَ فِي نِعَالِهِمْ وَلَا خِفَافِهِمْ. They won't pray in their own shoes, and they won't pray in their leather socks. So you pray in your shoes, pray in your leather socks. In another hadith, it was said, one of the companions said, رضي الله عنه, that he, one of the tabi'un said, he asked Anas ibn Malik, that أكان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي في نعليه. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم used to pray in his shoes? He said, نعم. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. They asked Anas ibn Malik, did the Prophet used to pray while wearing shoes? He said, yes. He used to pray while wearing shoes. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, al-Hanafi, who did Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyah, he said the ahadith and upon which specify that it is permissible for the Muslim to pray in his shoes, they are mutawatira. Hadith mutawatir. Fahfazha. So if you want to know the forms, the ahadith that are mutawatir, Nafsu alayhi al-Tahawi, Imam al-Tahawi specifically mentioned that the ahadith regarding the permissibility of wearing shoes while praying, they are mutawatir. Just like the ahadith that established the fact that Isa alayhi salam would come back. Just like the ahadith that established the fact that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam used to raise his hands in salah. Just like the ahadith that show that it is obligatory to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in salah. And a lot of ahadith that are mutawatir. Just like the ahadith that makes us understand that the one who fabricates a lie against the Prophet, ascribing it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should find a place in the fire. All of these ahadith are from ahadith mutawatir. So from ahadith that are mutawatir are those that specify that it is permissible for the Muslim to wear his shoes while praying. There is a common hadith, we quote it, but these Sikh people don't derive it from that hadith. And that is that one day the Prophet led, Imam Bayhaqi reported that hadith. The Prophet led the companions in a prayer. And Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and said, Ikhla na'alayk, remove your shoes. So he removed his shoes. The companions too removed their shoes, radiallahu anhu, because they saw him removing his shoes. So they will do whatever he did. وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. That's their own basic rule. If you follow him, you'll be guided. So when he removed his shoes, their own thinking also is, we must remove our shoes so as to be guided. Radiallahu anhu. So when he removed his shoes, they removed their shoes too. So after the salah, I was asking them, why did you remove your shoes? It's because we saw you remove your shoes. So for me, the way came to say to me that my shoes had najasa on it. So that was why I removed it. Yours didn't have najasa. Okay. That's evidence that if there is najasa, we don't wear it. That's also evidence that you wear shoes when you pray. He was not alone wearing it. He was wearing the shoes and the companions were wearing their shoes. The hadith is authentic. They were all in salah. He removed, they removed too. Radiallahu anhu. So it's something that was known. That's why it's not strange at all. In this book, Shar'iyyatu Salati fi Ni'al. This book was written by Sheikh Muqbil Al-Wadi'i. It's the single book I have ever seen on this issue. I don't think any scholar before him, to my knowledge, has compiled a book specifically on the permissibility of praying on shoes. In this book, he mentions 16 hadiths. 16. To prove the permissibility of praying in shoes. And he also mentioned other afar that show that it is permissible to pray in shoes. And like you will see in that hadith, one of the afars he brought, was that between Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu wanted to lead them in Salah, I think in Kufa. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud saw him removing his shoes. And he asked him, Abil Wadi al-Muqaddasi tuwa anta? That is, are you in Wadi al-Muqaddasi tuwa? You remember in Surah in Taha, I think, Allah said to Nabi Musa alayhi salam that وَلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. So Abdullah ibn Masud was asking Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, أَبِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى أَنْتَ, why are you removing your shoes? Are you in Wadi al-Muqaddas Tuwa, the holy valley called what? Tuwa. Is it, are you there now? Why are you removing your shoes? So it's something that is known amongst the companions. Where are your shoes? And let us pray. So it is permissible to wear our shoes when we perform Salah. There are some people that is what is best for them. Like some of the people in the Jaish, in the soldier and police and all that, they don't need to remove their shoes when they want to pray because of this sin of the Prophet Muhammad. Ad-deen yusr, this deen is easy. So instead of removing the shoes and why pray in the shoes? If you say you don't want to wear it into a mosque because you have robbed the mosque. وَمَا أُمِرْتُ بِتَشْيِيدِ الْمَسَاجِدِ, the Prophet said to alayhi salatu wasalam, I have not been asked to make the mosque so flamboyant. The Prophet said so. Ibn Abbas reported hadith. So if we are, he is not been asked to make the mosque so flamboyant, and he has the opportunity to make the mosque flamboyant, and you make your own mosque flamboyant, you are not making mukhalaf of Yahud and Nasara in your masajid. That's the fact that the hadith is mutawatir. There is a narration here that Sheikh Mukbil said that one of the reasons why this sin of wearing shoes while we pray is so strange now is because the scholars don't do it. If the people had been seeing the scholars doing it, they would have asked them and they would have clarified and explained and popularized that sin. So he mentioned an experience that he had. He said he saw somebody in Haram Makki. He was preventing somebody who was praying in his shoes. Personally, my own personal experience. My first time I performed Hajj, I deliberately wore my shoe into the Kaaba, into the Masjid al-Haram. Deliberately. I think perhaps I just read this book at that time. That if there are any masajid in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged that, it is these two masajid. So I wore my shoes. Perhaps the security didn't see me, because Sheikh Mugbil said here that in Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, some people wanted to do security, prevented them from going in with their shoes. Unfortunately, they will not prevent you from holding your shoe when you go into the masjid. But when you wear the shoe into the masjid, they will prevent you, as he mentioned here. So he was saying an experience he had with somebody. He says, Alehi Siyamal Khair was Salah. The person was looking like a pious person and a nice person. Yunkiru ala man yusalli fi na'alayhi. That person was contracting somebody who was praying on his shoes. Fakila lahu innaha sunnatun. So it was said to that person who is appearing to be a nice and pious person that, look, it is sunnah. Faqala a'udhu billahi min hadhihi sunnah. So the person said, a'udhu billah from that kind of sunnah. And I know Arab. You see, when he will say it, he will say it so angrily. He said, inna ha-sunnah, a'udhu billahi min hadhihi sunnah. Seek Allah's refuge from that kind of sunnah. Sunnah that is, you should be ashamed. But what did he say, alayhi salatu? He said, khaliful yahood. Be different from the Jews. Fa'innahum la yalbasuna ni'alihim wa la khifafihim. Because they don't wear their shoes and their leather socks when they perform their worship. So you wear your own shoes. Be different from them. So this is somebody now, a Muslim, is saying that I will be lying in hazi sunnah. He seeks Allah's refuge from the sunnah. He mentioned other experiences he had. He mentioned someone who is a caretaker of a masjid. That one occurred to him in Yemen. So he saw somebody who came from Saudi Arabia to Yemen. The person was wearing his shoes into the masjid. He told him to wear your shoes to that masjid, I will break your leg. So because the scholars have not been doing it, if the known, well-known scholars, one of them wear his shoes one day and perform Salah, nobody will say people should not wear shoes. So some of these things the companions will popularize. If they were the ones, they would do it. to popularize it. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was doing his sermon in Kufa, today we are all making jamu. One person raised the sunnah, Abdullah ibn Abbas. His hadith is the most popular hadith on al-jamu'u bayna as-salatayn, bi uzri al-matar, fil hadr. He was making dars. It was time for Maghrib, he didn't stand up. It was time for Isha, okay. So when later in the night you say, okay, now let's pray, people say, so during the time of Maghrib, someone said, Salah. You know how people say, look at you, Salah, yai. You start telling, look at you, yai. He said, atu'allimuna ni sunnah rasulillah. You want to teach me the Prophet? Now sit down there. Ibn Abbas. He was a tough person, radiallahu anhu. It wasn't because of his being tough as a person. But sometimes knowledge makes somebody, something that is big to you, you put it down. Because for that person is big. It's time for Salah, won't we pray? He said, sit down. You are not the one to teach me the Prophet. So at that time then he reported the hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كان رسول يجمع بين الصلاتين بلا سفر ولا مطر ولا خوف. No suffer, no rain, no. In some riwayat, marat. It wasn't that he was ill, but لكن هو يريد أن يخفف على أمته. He wants to see for his sunnah. This sunnah became something that was known. Imagine the number of people that was in the gathering that he was addressing, radiallahu anhu. And he did it there. He had some things like that. Ibn Umar. Umar also had some things like that. Imam Muslim reported in Sahih Muslim that this zikr istiftah in Salah, that when we start Salah, we say, سبحانك اللهم بحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. Umar radiallahu anhu used to read it aloud in Medina. When he's asked, he said, I want to teach people. So that was one of the evidences that Sheikh Al-Albani refuted somebody who is saying that that hadith is not Sahih Marfu'an. He said, if this hadith is not Sahih Marfu'an and Umar is reading it aloud to people in masjid in Medina, where all the companions are there, and they're asking, why are you reading it? I said, I want to teach people. Will you be teaching something? Will you be teaching somebody something that they've not heard from the Prophet Muhammad? And the companions will remain silent. They are not like that. You see, say yes. So even if that hadith has hukmul waqf, that it was from the statement of Umar, he said, I want to teach the people, it is mawkuf aslan lahu hukmul raf. It has a hukum of the hadith that has been taught to them by the Prophet Muhammad. There are many examples of something that's not known initially, and companions will come and make it known. Ibn Abbas had that too. When he's making takbirat, he used to read aloud in Salat al-Janazah. He'll be reading aloud what he's reading in between. When he asked me, I want to teach the people, I want them to know. Because they'll be wondering, what are we reading? So, but things like that, once you allow the people to know, you remain silent and you continue on its asset. But the best is to even teach the people in majalis other than that. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he wanted to teach people how to pray, he told them to make a minbar for him. And he used to climb upon it. When he wants to make his sujood, he moves back and makes the sujood on the ground, goes back on it. At the end of it, he said, look, I want to make you see me how I pray. So these things that are considered strange, it is those people who are learned who should do it. When they do it, you see people start doing it. But unfortunately, they are the people who will oppose it. So it is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray while wearing shoes. So if you cannot do it, if you are shy of doing it in a masjid, do it in your house. Do it when you are traveling. Do it in other places that nobody will do anything to do to you to make a share of the sunnah. So Amr ibn Hurayth said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يصلي في نعلين مخصوفتين. I saw the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم performing his salah in two patched shoes. عليه الصلاة والسلام. The next hadith by our own numbering is hadith 66. But for the rest of us, it's hadith 79. It says, it's also again hadith of Abu Hurairah. radiallahu anhu, Yamani. He's also from those who reported the hadith on Jawaz al-Salat Sim Na'alayn, Shari'iyat al-Salat Sim Na'alayn, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يمشين أحدكم في نعل واحدة لينعلهما جميعا أو ليحفهما جميعا لا يمشين أحدكم في نعل واحدة لينعلهما جميعا أو ليحفهما جميعا. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه reported that he heard Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم say that لا يمشين أحدكم في نعل واحدة. None of you should ever wear a single shoe. You can say a single leg of a shoe. Is it a single leg or a single pair? What do you say? One of the pairs. None of you should wear a single one of the pairs of a shoe. Don't wear one. لا يمشين أحدكم في. Don't walk doing so. It says لينعلهما جميعا. You either wear the two together, or ليحفهما جميعا, or you remove the two of them. You either wear the two shoes, or you remove the two of them. In another related hadith, he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّعْلِ الْوَاحِدَةِ. الشيطان يمشي بالنعل الواحدة. Shaitan is the one who walks with a single shoe. So don't walk on a single shoe. On. You either remove the two of them, or you are either wearing the two of them. I think that hadith is clear. Some of the scholars like Sheikh Salim al-Hilali in Mawsu'at al-Manahi al-Shar'iyya have mentioned that it does not include the shoes alone. Said that because from the reasons why these things are prohibited is that it's like being unjust to the leg that you are not wearing the shoes. That the same thing, if you have a shirt, don't wear a kumma, a sleeve, and then you unsleeve the other hand. You say don't wear a sleeve and leave one sleeve. The same thing for the trousers. So you know, undergraduates have what they call rag day. So on the rag day they could do it in anyhow, only Allah knows they could. So don't wear a sleeve and leave the other sleeve. You either remove the two or you wear the two. So we said to him, you either wear the trouser or you don't wear the trouser. Look for another thing to wear, even if you have to tie a wrapper. But don't wear a sleeve and then leave off the other sleeve. It is connected to those things that we do to the two parts of the body, like an eye. Some people cover an eye and leave the other eye. You want to cover, cover the two. Except if there is a darura for having to cover the eye. Some boys want to do bad guy, to cover the eye. Say no. Don't be unfair to this. We've not seen bad guys, they do it. They put one eye, block this eye. So why not say? He's doing big boy. Tell him, you are being unfair to the second eye. So you either wear that your bad guy on the two eyes, so we know that today you want to go blind. Or you leave the two eyes. So it's connected to things that we do. It's just one person, Allah ya'murukum bil adli wal ihsan. That's just it. So if you have must do adli with people, why not do adli with yourself? Ala babil awladi. The next hadith is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. For us reading the Mukhtasar of Sheikh al-Albani, it is hadith number 67. For the rest of us, it is hadith 80. عن جابر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم 62 in your own. In our, in ours, it is 67. It is 67. In Wali's own too. Hadith 67, inshallah. In Mukhtasar, it says, "An Jabirin an Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam naha an ya'kula, ya'ni الرجل بشماله أو يمشي في نعل واحدة. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نهى أن يأكل يعني الرجل بشماله أو يمشي في نعل واحدة." جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري. Usually when they say Jabir, it's him رضي الله عنه. He also lived very long. He had a long kisah around the benefits of his age. Because what happened in that kissa, the person who mentioned it that this old man could not be lying, and it caused a change in their lives. There are some Khawarij who came from Kufa, from Iraq. They were going to perform Hajj, and they had determined that if they finished the Hajj, the Hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that if they finished the Hajj, they would spread the Aqidah of the Khawarij. So it coincided with the fact that Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was teaching in the Prophet's Masjid in Medina. So he was discussing about Jahannamiyun, those people who amongst the Muslims will be sinful and will have to go into Jahannam first and then be brought into Al-Jannah. May Allah count us out of those people. We want to get into Jannah straight without tasting the fire. So those people will be referred to as Jahannamiyun. So they heard him talking about that. So they stood up and challenged, "Old man, what are you saying about Jahannamiyun? You know the position of the Khawarij is that anyone who gets into the fire never comes out. And any Muslim who sins gets into the fire, major sin, goes into the fire forever." So this concept of the fact that there are Jahannamiyun is completely against this Aqidah of the Khawarij. So they stood up and challenged, "What are you saying? Did you not read the Quran? That any person who enters the fire, khalidina fiha," this for kuffar, not for Muslims. So he refuted them. Well, they are quoting verses of Quran. It's usually common with people. When they oppose people of knowledge, it is verses of Quran they will be quoting. When Ibn Abbas went to meet the Khawarij in their camp in Harura, what were they quoting to him? Quran. He was saying, when did you start to read Quran? In solution, he could ask them, "You know Quran? You quote Quran to Ibn Abbas? What did the Prophet call him, alayhi salam?" So you know, it's like a doctor, you have a professor, you are telling him that a professor of mathematics. You are telling him that, "Don't you know that it's one equation?" He will say, "Please tell me the equation. Please say the equation, let me hear." So this is it. So they were quoting verses of Quran that Allah says those who enter fire is Khalidina fiha. He is not referring to Muslims. They were quoting verses. So he just refused the verses. So when they left him, Allah made what he said to have impact in them. He said it about 70 something or 80 something. He had decided after Hajj to convert people, confuse them, to follow us. Let me bring one benefit here too. There are Muslim groups and associations that are like this. When we go to gatherings of Muslims, their plan is to just get 1, 2, 3 people to be following them in their evils. It is the place from where they got that is from the ways of Khawarij. So they decided to do it, just to spread the idea. So when they finished and regathered, they were on their way to Makkah. They passed through Medina. They were saying to one another, "Do you think this old man will be lying and ascribing it to the Prophet Muhammad?" He said, "We all change except one or two among us." 80 something. They all changed except one or two among them. You know, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا وَرًا فَمَا لَهُ النُّورًا. So they didn't change. We are saying what age does. In this case, from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He lives about 80-something years, radiallahu anhu, before he died. He is companion, the son of a companion. So when you see Jabir ibn Abdullah, it's just like saying, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he said to them both, radiallahu anhu. says the one who reported this hadith, that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an ya'kula yani ar-rajul bishima yani ar-rajula bishimalihi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited that a man should eat with his left, aw yamshi fi na'alin wahida, or that he should walk wearing one shoe, a pair or one of the pair of a shoe. Don't wear a leg and leave the other leg bare. No, wear both or leave both. So he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an ya'kul ar-rajulu bishimalihi, he predicted that a man ate with his left. We know that already, and like we read on the hadith of wearing the shoes, one of the two units of shoes, that it is from the deeds of shaitan. We are also aware that it is the shaitan. Yana shaitana kana ya'kulu bishimalihi, shaitan used to eat with his left. And we know the case of the one who was eating with his left or drinking it. The Prophet said to him, change it to the one. He said, I can't change. Okay, you will not be able to change it. And it was like that. There is a kisso around that dua we used to say, La ba sa tahurun inshallah. Just like this one. An old man was ill, and the Prophet went to visit him, alayhi salam. So the man was complaining, see, head icky, body don't pain me like that. Huma, he says, suffering from heat and body pain. So the Prophet said, La ba sa tahurun inshallah. That is, don't worry, it is to purify you. He said, what tahur? He said, what tahur? The headache is killing me. He said, the Prophet said, let it be like that. The man died of that headache and body pain. The Prophet said, Labas, tahur, don't worry. Just take it easy. Tahur, inshallah. Say, which tahur? The man is dying of headache. He said, tahur. Say, okay, liyakun. The man died from that. That is from where you see that Labas or tahur. That is the kisso around that hadith. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلِيَحَذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Allah had warned us before. And let people be careful who will oppose his instructions, so that they are not afflicted by trials. أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. May Allah save us from his fitnah and azab. So the Prophet prohibited eating with the left leg, with the left hand. He also prohibited us from walking on one of the units of shoes. The other hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira again. It says, an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam qala, إِذَا انْتَعَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَعْ بِالْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا نَزَعَ فَلْيَعْدَعْ بِالشِّمَالِ. What we were saying that the Prophet did, if people do it today, people will say, oh, they are too tough. Ustaz, you are too tough. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud saw a woman who shaved all the hairs, there are riwayats. And that's why the most authentic opinion about who a nasima is, he says, La an Allah nasimat wal this ahadith mustashimat and all that wasilat. In the riwayah of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Sheikh al-Albani brought it in Silsilat al-Sahiha. He saw Ibn Mas'ud saw a woman whose frontal part of her face was shaved completely. She shaved all the hairs. In fact, in the riwayat was saying that her face was shining, no single hair on her face. And Ibn Abbas, she said to be Ummu Ya'qub from Bani Asad. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman, cursed her. What does he say? Will I not curse you when Allah and His Prophet have cursed you? Will I not curse you when Allah and His Messenger have cursed you? He said, where does Allah curse you? He said, go and read Quran. If you read Quran very well, you see where Allah curse you. The woman went. She read Quran, came back. Sai I didn't see anywhere. I say, oh, wa ma atakum wa rasul fakhuzur wa ma nahakum anhu. So where is the curse in that verse now? He now said to him that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursing the people who do as you do, and Allah has ordered me to follow the Prophet, so I must curse you. So he cursed the woman. How is that? There are other ahadith. He said when we see a woman perfumed, he said إِلْعَنُهُنَّ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مَلْعُونَةِ. He said curse them because they are accursed. How is that? The Prophet said curse them because they are accursed. So I'm sure people say, oh, you my last word be on you. People say, oh, Ustaz. So because we've not known how those people who came before us were. And that was why Ibn Mas'ud, when that woman said, if we go and see, look in your house now, your wife too is doing it, say, go and check it. If she's like that, I will never near her again. Imam al-Nawawi said, he's saying that if she was like that, he would divorce her. My own wife, go and check. If she's like that, I promise you, I divorce her immediately. So somebody who is cursing a woman who does something, is that the one who will be sleeping on the same bed with the woman who will be doing the same thing? Do you understand? It means they are far away from things like that. Oh, we have a daughter doing that. But because many of the people too, their children, go and look at them, many of the malams. Yes. Who are they getting married to? Why are they dressing in the street? What kind of personality do they have? Are they not mutabarrijat like other girls on the street? And their wives? If the wife of a learned person doesn't wear jilbab, who will wear jilbab? Who will wear the jilbab? And he's keeping her. So he will be praying, Allah will not answer his prayer. Yes, from those whose prayers will not be answered are those who keep sinful women at home. The hadith is authentic, is in Silsilat al-Sahihah. Those who keep sinful women at home, they only make dua, Allah will not answer their prayer. So, some of these things, those people are tough. What will you say of Ibn Mas'ud? He's tough. Or Umar, who saw a person dragging his lower garment, he said, come. That one came, he said, go and get me razor. He cut the trouser from with his leg. If the hadith is authentic. Or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who saw somebody dragging, he said, hey, remove it. He said, oh no, my legs are bent. He has a wijaj, bent legs, curved legs. He said, no, everything that Allah has created is fine. Raise the trouser up. People say, ah, Ustaz, come on. Even the person that his leg is bent, are you saying that he should raise his shoulder? Ah, takula. They start telling you takula now. I see what you are saying is that you are fearing shaitan. So those things, it's not, many times people say people are tough regarding a matter because they do not know how the companions were. Or Ibn Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman that saw somebody praying, asking, sir, Baba, how many years have you been praying like this? You say, ah, Pastor, so if you pray like this for 40 years, you are wasting your time. If you say that to a man now, how will it be? Or Ibn Abbas, that people came to tell that a companion did something. Uthman ibn Affan was listening. He said, no, the sunnah is this. Was there. Uthman ibn Affan performed Hajj Ifrad. And he's saying that the sunnah is Hajj Tamattu. And the Prophet ordered us to make Hajj Tamattu. People say, even your father, Umar. That's regarding Ibn Umar. So even your father, because they both have the riwayat. So even your father Umar performed Hajj Ifrat. And even Abu Bakr Prophet said, Arahum sayahlikun. Akulu qala Rasul wa yakuluna qala Abu Bakr wa Umar. And you want to be destroyed. In that of Ibn Abbas, he said, Yushak wa yunazzil alayhim hijaratan min as-sam. Very soon, Allah will soon rain stones against you from heaven. I'm saying, the Prophet said, you are telling me Umar and Abu Bakr say, Abi. If a person says that to people today, how will it be? Somebody say there's hadith on social media. Somebody says, hey, but Malam Fulan says so. You want to be destroyed? People say, ah, Malam, one ya yawa kawai. This is too much. Ah, is she why is she, you two, say this? Because they didn't know how those people behave. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was telling his son that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the houses of Allah. He said, me, I'm going to prevent them. He said, I say, the Prophet said, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the houses of Allah. Say, me, I will prevent them. Say, أنا لا أكلمك أبدا. I will never talk to you again. Father and son. I am telling you, the prophet says something. You say you will not do it. You say you will do. And the child is saying that you prevent her because the way women used to dress, you know, started getting a little bit lesser than it should be. They say, no, it's better for women to pray in their homes. That's what the son was saying. They say, no, the best is to keep them. I'll keep them. I will never talk to you again. Ever. When Umar was dying, they brought the boy to him. In some riwayat, it said his name is Bilal. In some riwayat, it says his name is Abdullah. Because Abdullah ibn Umar has children, a son called Abdullah ibn Umar. That means that a father can give his son his name. He brought it to him. See your son, please end the matter. He looked at him like this, he turned away, he died there. Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, if it is today, what would the people say? This is their own sunnah, we've never seen it before. What was the area? I say, prophet say something, you are saying you will not do. Who are you? Who are you? It's common today. They say, Akwe Hadith in Manzoa, they say, I don't know that Hadith. These are people who come back and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Yes, the Shahada is accepted. The question is, just ask the validity. To what the extent of the validity is the issue. Oh my dear Allah, sisters. I'm just trying to say there are many things people see and hear. They say, people are tough. Because they didn't see what companions did. What about the companion who had a slave, a Jewish slave that he liked so much? She used to abuse the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to beg her, don't abuse our Prophet. One day she abused the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He carried her, tied her, and used axe and broke her head. The hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud. He scattered her head with axe. You are abusing our Prophet. He was begging her, please don't abuse our Prophet. She was abusing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one day she abused the Prophet, he jacked her, put her on the ground. In Sunan Abi Dawud, he sat down upon her, took axe and scattered the head. This is the same prophet today, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear his words, the prophet said this, we do what we want. Say, me, I want. Me, I want. Who are you? You. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, qala, إِذَا تَعَلَى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَعْ بِالْيَمِينِ. You see those people in those times, they only face their consequences immediately. The old man that the prophet said, Labasta, he said, no, Labasta, okay, let it be like that. How is that one? Immediately it happened. The man suffered headache and body pains until he died. It's very dangerous to be saying that prophet says something, me, I won't do. Very, very dangerous. Just to remain silent, beg Allah to make it easy for you. Didn't you know companion who went to the prophet to say, please, how will the things be easy for me now? How will it be easy for me to be leaving what Allah orders me to go away from and doing what Allah wants me to do? So people now have got, they say, Wubazamwi, Waneku, Izan ta'ala ahadukum falyabda' bil yamin. If any of you wears his shoes, let him start with his right. وَإِذَا نَزَعَ فَلْيَعْدَعَ بِالشِّمَالِ. But when he removes it, let him start with the left. فَلِتَكُنُ الْيُمْنَى. If you have Sheikh Al-Albani's Nuska, if you have Yumna there, I think there's a sock to there. Go. فَلْتَكُنُ الْيُمْنَى. You have? Aha. فَلْتَكُنُ الْيُمْنَى أَوَّلَهُمَا سُنْعَلْ. There is a sock to there in the Nuska of Sheikh Al-Albani. فَلِتَكُمْ الْيُمْنَى. Just put there الْيُمْنَى. أَوَّلَهُمَا تُنْأَلْ وَآخِرَهُمَا تُنْزَعْ. When any of you wears the shoes, فَلْيَعْدَعْ بِالْيَمِينِ. أنت عندك لا تكتشع. أليس عندك؟ فَلِتَكُمْ الْيُمْنَى. Let the right feet be أَوَّلَهُمَا تُنْعَلْ. The one that you remove, you wear first. وَآخِرَهُمَا تُنْزَعْ. And the last of what you what remove. If you wear your shoes, يَبْدَعْ بِالْيَمِينِ. Start with the right. وَإِذَا نَزَعَ. When you are removing it, لِتَقْنُ الْيُمْنَى awwalahuma tun'al wayo ah wa idha naza'a falyabda bil shimal. I didn't read that. Idha ta'ala falyabda bil yamin. When he wears it, let him start with the right. Wa idha naza'a falyabda bil shimal. When he removes it, let him start with what? The left. فَلِتَقْنُ الْيُمْنَ أَوَّلَهُمَا تُنْعَلْ. Let it be that the right is the first one that he wears. وَآخِرَهُمَا تُنْزَ. And the last of them to be removed. The next hadith, I think that ruling is clear. That is, when you wear, wear the right first. But when you remove, remove the left first. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحب التيمم ما استطاع في ترجله وتنعله وطهوره. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحب التيمم ما استطاع في ترجله وتنعله وطهوره. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yuhibbu at-tayammun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likes keeping right, doing right, using the right first. Mastata'a, as much as he is able to do so. Fi tarajjulihi, when he combs his hair. Wa tanawulihi, when he wears his shoes. Wa tuhurihi, and when he purifies himself, he starts the right side. The same thing, when he washes a dead corpse, he starts the right side. When he wants to come in to the bathroom, he goes with the left. The qiyas is made from here too. And when he comes out with the right. Those things that have ikram, things of honor, he starts with the right. When he eats, with his right. When he wears his clothes, with his right. First, when he removes with his left. So things that are ascribed to honor, it starts in wudu. Where do we start from? Right. So, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحب التيمم ما استطاع في ترجله وتنعله وطهوره. When he ترجله combs his hairs, وتنعله he wears his shoes. وَطُهُورِهِ, he purifies himself. يُحِبُّ التَّيَمُّنَ مَسْتَطَعَ, as much as he is able to, he gives preference to the right side. Let's not forget that in these ahadith, we are all talking about مَا جَاءَ فِي نَعْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, regarding the Prophet. So they told us, they described the na'l. Now they are telling us how he wears it and what he does not wear. So it means you never see a hadith that says the Prophet was not wearing a shoe, or sorry, the Prophet was wearing a single feet. There's a hadith like that, but the hadith is weak. The hadith of Aisha, that he wore a leg, a pair, or unit of the shoes. He wore a unit of the shoe. That hadith is weak. There are some asar too, that some amongst the Prophet's predecessors wore a feet of the shoes. A unit of the shoe. But the ulama say those mawkufat and maqtu'at, they are not evidences when you have a clear-cut evidence from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. You see now, they are saying that the Prophet said don't do something. If you find that one scholar did it, don't follow that scholar, follow the Prophet. That's what they are saying. The same thing on these issues of doing a khutbah before the khutbah on the day of Jummah. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is a clear hadith on the mas'ala. But some of the people say no, they saw Abu Huraira one day read hadith to people on Friday. So that will take precedence over the hadith of Rasul alayhi salam. Not just a hadith of describing his fa'il, a hadith of nahyu. If we were to have seen another hadith that shows permissibility, and it is difficult to make jamur, it is difficult to make to discover Dalilu Tariq, we are going to prefer the evidences that says don't do over the evidences that says do. في النفس الدال على التحريم مقدم على النفس الدال على الإباحة. أيها الناس صحابة. Even if it was a statement of the Prophet that showed that one day he did something on Friday before khutbah, and here he is saying the Prophet prohibited it, we are going to take the hadith of prohibition. So this is the way we look at the Sunnah. So when we see that some Tabi'un or some Sahaba did something and the Prophet said don't do it, the excuse is that they were not aware. If they are aware, they will never do it. If they are aware, they will never do it. Or they did it for a thing, or they could even forget. How many times will they forget? When Ibn Mas'ud was telling Abu Musa al-Ash'ari Bilwadi al-Muqaddas Situa, quickly he removed his shoes. There are many examples. A companion will forget a rule and say, hey, I have forgotten. When Abu Qatada al-Ansari was leading Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman in Salah in Mada'in, and he was climbing upon a height, he dragged him and said, have you forgotten? I probably said you should not lead. I said, I have forgotten. That's why I came back. I forgot. If I'm not forgetting, it was even Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman that forgot. One of them forgot. The other reminded him that, no, have you forgotten? I have forgotten. That's why, but as you dragged me, I remember. So perhaps that companion did that thing, not remembering that he has a rewire on it. So you don't give precedence over the action or statement of a companion that contradicts a clear-cut hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what they want us to understand. The last hadith in this bab, inshallah. Cool? Alhamdulillah, the hadith is weak. So the gamu yiturenchi de yawa. Also an Abi Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Kana li na'li Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kibalan. The Prophet's shoes had two straps. We don't need this weak hadith to tell us. We have authentic hadith already. But it means that this part of this hadith is what? It's reliable. Wa Abi Bakr wa Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. And the same thing with the shoes of Abu Bakr and Umar. وأول من عقد عقدا واحدا عثمان رضي الله عنه. The first person to make one عقد. I don't know the meaning of this expression. أول من عقد عقدا. I searched for it. I didn't get. What does it mean? How do you describe عقد عقدا في النعال? The person who made one knot, who tied a knot in his shoes. The first person who did that was Uthman. What was that? What does it mean? How do you tie one knot in the shoe? Huh? Sharp. Okay. Now? The knot to be at the joint. It does not contradict the straps. But the zahir of this hadith means that what he did is different from what they did. I don't know what it means. The day that we know will tell us. Inshallah. But this hadith is weak, so we don't have any problem. So we'll stop here, inshallah. One, two questions. Two, inshallah, because of the rain, so that we can go back. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah. So, are you suggesting that we tie? Okay, we'll give you a response. The response is that, you know, he says if you want to do something, you start with what? Things of ikram, honor. What do you do first? The right. Even if you do the second, but if it is something regarding which you can't do the two, then you give preference to the right. Say we must wear watches, wear it on the right. Because it has to be ikram for your body. If it is something that we can wear two, then we wear both hands. But any person who wears two watches, you're asking questions. So if it were possible to wear the two, don't worry, when we read on his rings, you will get the hadith better. Alaykum as-salam wa everything that Allah created is fine. So somebody has co-joined twins. Do you say co-joined or you say joined twins? We call them co-joined? That's what they call them? I don't know this to ensure. Eh? Is it terminology? Siamese. That's what I know. Siamese twins. They are joined together. So yes. He's saying, how do we understand them vis-a-vis that everything that Allah has created? Yeah, he has created them, nice. But there is like an illness. The same thing, the one who has, you know, twisted legs. If he can cure himself, if there's anything he can do to straighten his leg, the Sharia will not say don't straighten your leg. But you don't say it's not fine. It's fine. There is no any monstrosity there. The monster itself is fine. You know what monster is? The monster itself is fine. Wa ahsana. Oh, he says, Tabarakallah ahsan al-khalikin. There is a verse in Sajda. There is another one in Taghabun. Wa sawwarakum fa ahsana suwarakum. So the way he has created, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ Insan, all of you. Allah created us fine. There is nothing that is ugly in Allah's creatures. And that's why no matter a woman, how ugly she is, one man will come and say, I say, Kai! Allahu Akbar. Everybody say, oh, inshallah. They say, hey, brother, what should I say? We'll be talking later. One brother will come from Akhiru Dunya. So brother, ha! Please, when is the quickest time you can do nikah? That's how Allah is. So that we now say that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. That's how Allah is. We read the hadith of Julaidib. And the woman who agreed to marry Julaidib. We will not mention the hadith of Julaidib because of time. It's a lengthy hadith, a very nice hadith. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.